turn to Matthew. Turn to the book of Matthew in your Bible. Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7 in your Bible. Is this not on? It's not on? What happened? What'd you do? It's not on my side. Was it on earlier?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't turn it off during the offering. And maybe I did. I don't know. Just keep an eye on it. You can turn it back on, and if it shuts off again, let me know. Matthew chapter number 7. And we're going to look at verses 21 through 23 here real quick, and then we will get into our lesson this evening. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for our opportunity here to open it. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you would deal with the need of every heart tonight. I pray, Father, that Lord, as we come in the middle of the week here, so many things going on in everyone's lives. Lord, I pray that you would just still our hearts right now and help us, Lord, to think about what you have for us. Help us, Lord, to think about the message at hand. Lord, I pray that you would minimize distraction and help us, Father, to be able to see the imposter as he is, and but see the real Lord, as you are. And Lord, we just pray your blessing now on our time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So we are continuing on talking about the works of Satan. And we're on letter E. We're on page 766. But letter E here is that he is the imitator of God. He attempts to imitate God in the sense of taking God's place. And so, as we've gone down through the study so far, we looked at the fact that he tries to present himself as another God, another Christ, another Spirit, another Gospel, another baptism. And today we begin with another ministry. Another ministry. And in Matthew chapter number 7, verses 21 through 23. Notice what these who claim to be servants of the Lord, notice what they say to the Lord and what the Lord says about them. He says, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, doing the will of the Father which is in heaven is to believe on his Son. That's what he says later on. But in verse number 22, he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? There will be many who will claim to be the people of God. They'll claim before the throne of God that they prophesied, that they preached or proclaimed God's word, or that they may have even thought that they foretold the future in some way in his name. And they say, have we not cast out devils in thy name? There will be many who have cast out devils in the name of Jesus, and they're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, because it isn't by prophesying that you enter into the kingdom of heaven. It isn't by casting out devils that you enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, the devil gives another ministry or something that you can do to try to earn your way there. But the Lord does not do that. It goes on, it says, and in Thy name done many wonderful works. Listen, it's good to do good. But if your point of doing good is to get there, oh, I hope I'll make it. Hope I do enough good. Well, you can't. Another ministry is you're ministering in that sense. Now, we're going to look at a few other passages here. But you're ministering for the sake of winning yourself a place in heaven. If you're doing that, it says here, I will profess strange stuff. I just changed these like Sunday night, didn't I? Sunday and a half. Yeah. The orange ones are cheap. They were cheap and they're junk. I have to get. It is not so. It is not so. Well, we don't want to lose our power here, so let's keep on rolling while I change these batteries. There is a false ministry or another ministry that the devil presents. And by the way, it feels good to do good. It feels good to do good, and oftentimes, people have assurance that they are in some way in favor. I'm wrapping up the cord here. They are in some way in favor with God, and they are assured of that because they feel good for what they're doing, and they feel like they're headed to heaven. They feel like it's on. They feel like they're doing what's necessary, and they're doing enough, and they're doing all that they need to do in order to obtain eternal life. But that ministry is a fruitless ministry because it's at least it is a fruitless ministry from the perspective of the person who's standing before God, having said, I've done these things. That's right. That's not to say that in spite of the person that God didn't maybe still do something. Y'all get what I'm saying? Like if they prophesied in His name, it's still possible that maybe somebody, in spite of the person, not because of the person, but in spite of the person, they heard the gospel, they understood the gospel, and they got saved. In spite of that person, wouldn't it be terrible if you were a minister and you preached the gospel and you told people the truth and they got saved and went to heaven, but you never latched on to it yourself? Yeah. Wouldn't it be terrible if you stand before God and you say, you know, I did all those good things. I said I believed, but you didn't really believe. The devil is deceitful, and he seeks to deceive you and allow you to do another ministry for the wrong reasons. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. And look at verse number 13. Second Corinthians 11. Man, all right, we're starting with the first verse. All right, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. He's not telling them to bear with him. He's telling them that they are likely to do so. But he goes on here. I know we covered this last week, but he goes on. He says, "For I suppose that I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking in me, or lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth is, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we." Now this occasion has to do, it's like a base of operation or something, giving them a space from which to be able to get after him. Now verse number 13, "For such are false apostles," those who are seeking an occasion to get at him. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Yeah. Another ministry. Yeah. Doing everything in the name of Jesus to get the benefits. Yeah. Let's look at 2 Peter 2, just real quick here. Peter chapter 2. Verse number 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. It's another ministry. Now, let me throw out a little side note here. Y'all be careful about your ways, what you do when you represent the way of truth. Right? We represent the way of truth, don't we? We represent the way of truth. Be careful that you don't cause people to speak evil of the way of truth by the way you live. Okay? But don't just live right because you think it's going to get you something. We live right because it's right. We live right because we are right. And we are right because Christ has made us right because of His righteousness. We are right because we've trusted Him, because He that began a good work in us will perform it unto the day of redemption. It's not another ministry that we're involved in. Hopefully, We're involved in the ministry, the right ministry, God's ministry. The devil also tries to present another Bible. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse number 17. He says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ." The devil has tried. His biggest attack has been to cause people to doubt what God has said. Remember at the very beginning, in Genesis chapter number 3, what is it that he said? The first recorded words of the serpent, the first recorded words of Satan are four words. Yea, hath God said. It's a question. He goes on to say, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He's questioning what God has said. And by the way, in the English language, there are now over 100 different quote-unquote versions of the Bible, because the devil wants to question what God has said. And things that are different are not the same. Another Bible. Number 8. Another people. Look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13. We're going to look here beginning in verse number 24. Another parable, Matthew 13, 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence hath it tares? He says, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Now let's look down in verse number 36. And Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and the disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Now we'll read on a little here. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now let me pause for a second, because there's a whole lot of prophecy mess-ups today. All right. I'm telling you, if you are on social media and you hear anything, almost anything you find on social media, of course, we're live streaming right now on social media, but just about anything you find on social media right now that has to do with prophecy and the end of the world, I'm telling you, 99.5% of it is absolutely wrong. Let me give you one real quick pointer. If people are trying to come up with prophecy from God about the end of the world that specifically involves America and does not involve Israel, it's not Bible prophecy. There you go. In case, I don't know, you know. In case you didn't know, there's no solar eclipse in Israel on April 8th. But whatever. Just a side note. Sorry, don't get me started here. All right. But yeah, it's not. No. Yeah, people are just. Anyways, all right. So this prophecy. When is this going to happen? Okay. There are multiple ends of the world, all right? There is the end of the world during this particular age, and that is when the rapture happens, when the tribulation begins. There is the end of the world, and that, by the way, that's not what this is talking about. There's the end of the world at the end of the tribulation. But that's not what this is talking about. There is also the end of the world at the end of the kingdom age, after 1,000 years of Christ ruling on the earth. That is what this is talking about. The wicked that are gathered to be cast into the fire are the ones who rebel at the end of the kingdom. That's what it's speaking of here. How do you know, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Because he says in verse 24, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. All right. Verse 33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. Verse 31, the kingdom of heaven is like. Verse 36, verse 38. He specifically references the children of the kingdom. Now, are we the children of the kingdom? Kinda, sorta, but not in this way. Will we be children of the kingdom during the kingdom period? Yes. Yes, we will. Yes. But because we, now, y'all have to understand that the kingdom is spoken of in a universal spiritual aspect, like the kingdom of God, as he says, you know, don't look here, don't look there, for the kingdom of God is within you. That's a spiritual aspect. But then there is the physical aspect of the kingdom, and that is when the kingdom fully comes, when Jesus comes, and he is here on earth ruling in person, physically, from the throne of David in Jerusalem. All right, don't misunderstand that. Yes, we are also physically now in that same kingdom, but that kingdom isn't here. It rules from heaven, not from the throne of David. Does that make sense? I know some people will get all technical and are like, well, wait a minute. Aren't we physically in the kingdom? Well, we're in the kingdom, but he's ruling it from heaven in our hearts, not ruling all of the matter. Because when you start overlapping the kingdom where he rules actually, like in person, and every aspect of the world is ruled by him in the sense that he's fulfilling the prophecy of being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that is quite different than what we're dealing with today. Obviously, he's allowing other people to have their time for now. But when He comes, when that kingdom comes, it is final. He is the King. And that's that. So, anyhow, so another people in this passage here, it's referring to people or this apparent religious crowd, these folks who look like the children of the kingdom, right? Y'all know tares look like wheat, but you can tell the difference if you're part of the Master's team. I'm not talking about those who are also tares. Now, so what do? You get rid of them? No, he says, let them grow with them. Now, remember though, how much does this... let me ask it this way. Does this parable 100% apply to 2024 Christianity? Directly 100%. I'll give you an easy answer. It's only two letters. No. No. It doesn't. It doesn't. This is the danger of applying kingdom. Now listen, can we apply some of this? Yes. But when people take parables that are meant to apply to another time and try to apply them to today, you're taking, I think as Brother Ellis said earlier this week, I can do all things through a verse taken out of context. yeah. So, that's the way it goes. It's the way it goes. But the fact is, he's talking about the kingdom. He's talking about the kingdom age, right? Now, how does this in some ways apply to today? The devil will have another people or people that blend in with the people of God, just like he has people that blend in with the people of God today, just like he has always had people who blend in with the people of God. So that's not to say that this passage doesn't apply at all. It's just saying that you have to be careful how you apply things that specifically are written for another time. Make sense? And when you do apply things, and you're doing so in a teaching format, whether it's through a YouTube video or in a group setting or with another person, you always give the disclaimer that the primary purpose of this passage is not what I'm currently applying it to. Does that make sense? So in this case, we're applying it to... Y'all with me on this? All right. In this place, in this case, we're applying it to the people. We're applying it to the concept that the devil has another people. Makes sense? So it's a loose application. If you go digging deep into it, it begins to break down because it's a loose application. His statement of the kingdom and what's going to happen during the kingdom will happen during the kingdom. But we can see little similarities in it today. Make sense? All right. So, number 9. Another church. And we've got some sub-points on this one. A through L. What? Save it. I know, that's a whole message. It's a whole message by itself, but... I mean, it's all in one passage. So it's not a big... Let's do it. Let's do it. You dare me? No, I'm kidding. All right. Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Oh my, oh my. Yeah. Yep. That is the fulfillment. Yeah. That's where it takes place. Yep. Right there, like that verse 10 and a couple few verses before it. So, all right. another church. Notice that this quote-unquote church of the Antichrist is, verse number 1, what's that? Verse 1. Well, a lot of them, but starting at 1. All right. So, first of all, it is a quote-unquote, a counterfeit quote-unquote church. We're going to contrast this, what the Bible calls the great whore, with the Lord's churches, and hold your finger here. Let's read the verse and then we'll go over to another place, but stay here. Revelation 17:1, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And if you look over real quick to 2 Corinthians 11 and keep your hand here in Revelation 17. We're going to be back. We're going to be back real fast. 2 Corinthians, 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Here we go. And I know we just read all of this. Verse 2 says, but I fear lest, I'm sorry, I'm reading verse 3. Verse 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. This is the contrast here. You have this other organization that is the religious organization of Babylon, the religious organization of the Antichrist. It is called by God the great whore, whereas the church is called a chaste virgin. Major contrast. Letter B here, it is a universal church, hence the term many waters there in verse number 1. This is, let's look at verse 15. Yes. Verse 15 of Revelation 17 says, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So that tells you many, many peoples, many multitudes, many nations, many tongues. Another word for universal, for the word universal, is Catholicos. That is the Greek word for universal. Catholicos. That's where the word Catholic comes from. It means universal. That's what it means. All right. So letter C. It is a state, quote unquote, church. Verse number 2. Notice it says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Letter D. It is a seducing, quote unquote, church. I'm just understand that I mean quote unquote when I say church here. All right. I'm just going to use the word church. Just know, yes, sir. the first, on letter B, the universal church, that was many waters, is why we say it's universal. It's worldwide. Right. It says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. That's letter C there. It's a state church. Kings are involved. It's kings and kingdoms. Letter D, a seducing church. the second part of verse 2. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Letter E, a blasphemous church. Verse number 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Letter F, a pompous church. The first part of verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having the cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. I know we'll read part of that again. A wealthy church. Wealthy church, same verse. All that wealth, all that stuff. You need to go talk to Doug? Okay, all right. letter H. An immoral church. Amen. Filthiness over fornication. Letter I. Now this is the church of the devil, okay? This isn't the church of God. This is the church of the Antichrist, which, by the way, it's already in existence. It calls itself the church of the Lord, you know. It identifies with Jesus, but is living this way. By the way, it's not just... I know we try to often peg this to just be Rome. It's Rome and all of her daughters. It's not just Rome. Rome and all of her daughters. What's that? Yep. So, it's a pagan church. Verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great. Babylon was the city where paganism began. Remember Genesis chapter 11 there, verses 1 through 9, where you have the Tower of Babel and all of those things, right? Paganism going on there. Paganism isn't directly mentioned in that passage, but it is inferred as you see later Abraham being called out of that area. So... Letter J, it is a parenting church. Verse number 5 there, it goes on to say, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. To be a mother, children must be brought forth. The Protestant denominations are mainly mothered by the Church of Rome. It is a persecuting church. Look at verse 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Letter I is an identifiable church. Verse number 9 tells us about some things. And here is the mind which hath understanding, or hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. This is the city of Rome. This ecclesiastical monstrosity, as he says here, now developing in the name of ecumenism, will be the religious arm of the Antichrist until the middle of Daniel's 70th week in Revelation 17, verse 16 and 17, where it says the 10 horns. This is referring to the religious arm of the whole thing here. But it says, the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. You're going to find that the devil's, the Antichrist's, kings are going to rebel or rather betray the religious aspect of Babylon. They're going to betray Babylon's religious head here and destroy. And it says that God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And it says here, note, another city built on seven hills is Istanbul, Turkey, formerly known as Constantinople, the center of the Eastern Orthodox, quote-unquote, church. Two arms of the same body there. All right, number 10. I'm just going to finish these two so that we can move on to the next main point next week. All right, number 10. Another kingdom. Go over to Matthew 12. Matthew 12. Sorry, I just... You did it to me, Travis. I'm just kidding. Matthew 12. Verse number 26. Another kingdom. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? The Lord referring to the kingdom of Satan helps you to know that he has such a thing. In Ephesians 6, right, as we talk about the whole armor of God often, in Ephesians 6 there, he tells us to stand and lets us know what our fight is about and with whom. Verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is the kingdom of the devil. And number 11. Point number 11 here. Other miracles. Miracles. Man, we already dealt with that in Matthew chapter 7, where he talked about the doing many wonderful works in thy name, the miracles. But go to Revelation 13:13. We'll try to finish this up with that. And Revelation 13. And verse number 13. Says, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he hath power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. It says here, little wonder people are drawn away into the experiences they seek. Satan is the counterfeit would-be God. He's able to work miracles, so to speak. Y'all know not everything you see is real. Not everything you see, not everything that looks like it came from God is from God. The devil is really, really good at posing. That's all of this, the last 3 weeks has been all about how he's an imposter. It's been all about how he imitates and tries to take the place of God in so many ways. And you'll find that There are whole religions out there in the name of Christ that have miracles and signs and wonders that the Bible doesn't give them. And they take the Eastern philosophy and the Eastern cultural magic concept, and they apply it to Christianity, and it becomes a completely different thing than what the Bible showed in the transitional period between Christ's ascension and the completion of the Word of God. Anyhow, don't get me started on that too far. We'll spend too much time on it. Listen, just because somebody does something that looks miraculous or seems miraculous, or just because you've experienced something that seemed to be miraculous or fall in line with something that they have told you, it doesn't mean it's of God. No, you read your Bible. Yeah, so here's the thing. We're not to seek signs and wonders. The truth of the Word of God is enough. So let me just say, just flat out on that. There are gifts that the apostles had that we don't have. We have the same Holy Ghost, but we don't speak. I can't speak and everyone understand me in their own language. And by the way, rattling off gibberish is not speaking in tongues. Going into a trance and being able to give prophetic statements, even if they come true, it's not from God. God's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything. And it's done. It's done. And He said at the end, don't add. Don't add to it. By the way, when someone walks up to you and says, God told me that you're going to this or that, y'all realize you're adding to the Word of God by saying that. Now listen, I get it. The Spirit of God leads you and guides you, but He leads you and guides you into all truth. It's always going to be scriptural. It's always going to be scriptural. It's not going to be some new revelation. And by the way, most of the time when the whole tongues movement, they're giving a message, supposedly giving a message from God. Some new message that you wouldn't have gotten by reading your Bible. And somebody then tries to interpret it and tells